or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, and you have tuned into Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for David Prues. And with me in the studio, I can't call her my guest because she tells me what to do.
I'm the boss around here.
She's the boss, yes. It's Melissa Burnett, who serves in her other job as a member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board. And so we're going to be going over what's coming up on the school board meeting this evening.
Yeah.
And
we got a lot.
Else comes up.
Yeah, we got a lot going on tonight.
Yes.
Very excited. First order for business tonight, actually, is we will be welcoming our brand new Fort Wainwright representative. Colonel Cole will be joining us tonight as the new representative for Fort Wainwright. And we are super excited to have him on board. Of course, last month, we said goodbye to Colonel Surrey, who has been with us the past couple years. And Colonel Surrey was absolutely great on our board. A lot of expertise coming from him. And now we look forward to all the things that Colonel Cole will be bringing and his expertise there for Fort Wainwright. So that's the first thing up tonight is welcoming Colonel Cole to our board. A little bit of a tongue twister there.
There you go. Yes.
And then also tonight we have a couple of resolutions coming up. And then we also have the FEA agreement that was ratified the other day. As most people know, we've spent last couple years in a deep negotiations process with FEA and ESSA trying to just delve out a contract for the teachers and for all the ESSA staff out there. And our new superintendent, Dr. Luke Meinert, came in back in July, and his first order of business was to get FEA and ESSA back at the table. Which I really appreciated that we had been asking for a long time. You know, there's a negotiation works two ways.
Right.
You know, conversations need to be. Yeah,
yes.
It's a conversation. Yeah. And the board felt that Dr. Meinert could open those conversations again, and he did. And we were able to get an agreement forward. FEA agreed to it, which included a 1% increase for this year, which also, now I know that that's not a lot, and you know, there's a lot of teachers out there who were very disappointed, but first off, our district, most people know, we're broke. The governor did not help us in any way, shape, or form with that, so we don't have a lot of money right now, so we did the 1%, and then there'll also be a $1,500 stipend that will be given to returning educators who came back this year. So if you were employed last year and you stayed on board and you came back this year, you also get that $1,500 stipend on top of the 1%. So that was a little bonus for them. Again, not everything I understand that they would have liked, but, you know, it was something that the school district felt they could do. And then for years two and three, we went up to 3%, which is quite a bit. But, you know, when you look at everything our teachers do, it's definitely well worth it. And especially the insurance thing is kind of crazy right now in the district. And there's some, you know, a lot of hesitation with the way the insurance is working out right now. And there's going to be some increased costs. So I definitely feel this 3% increase was definitely fair considering what's about to happen with the insurance side of things. So the other day, FEA and ESSA met and it passed with a 77% vote. So we are very fortunate for that. And then tonight it will come ahead to our school board, and hopefully we will get that signed off on and can get our teachers under contract, which is where they would like to be, and then we can start the next process because we got another one coming.
Yes, we have more to discuss.
More to discuss.
Yes, indeed.
More
yes,
contracts. Indeed. So, yeah, it's you know, it's been crazy, but I'm very fortunate that we have a good leadership now, and hopefully, you know, we can continue on this forward path of progress. You know, Dr. Minor is very, I look forward to him being in charge as he's very, I lack the words, but he's willing to take our district above and beyond. He's ready to tap into resources and things that we have not tapped into before.
Yes. I first met him, I guess, at the, when he presented to the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
And I was impressed. He wants to be accountable for measurable outcomes.
Yes.
And we need to move down that line to,
absolutely,
to focus the effort a little more.
Yeah. Well, and I also love how he, you know, accountability for the district, accountability for himself, accountability for the board. You know, that's very important in our district. And I think that that's something that the community has been lacking is accountability in our district. You know, we do things and say things and maybe there's not necessarily been somebody to stand there and be like, okay, yeah, we did this and here's why. Dr. Minor is definitely that person. So I am very, very glad that that's who we hired. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to this as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and
so,
then, you know, and it helps with all kinds of things. You know, he's got us working on a few things I can't necessarily bring up just yet, but there's a few things that'll be coming forward that I think that the public will be very impressed with, very pleased with, and it's in line with what we all want, and that's getting back to education-oriented discussions, and that's exactly what's happening. And so I'm so impressed with Dr. Minor.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And yes, the accountability, the outcomes. I think that's at the root of the public frustration with education in general, is we really don't know. Are we getting a red car, a blue car? Is it a car? Is it a pickup?
Yeah.
What the heck are we
getting? What are we getting? Yeah, yes, exactly. Right. What are we buying?
Yeah.
You know, what are we buying into? Absolutely. And those there's been too many of those questions.
Yes. And if we can focus on that and agree, first agree on what we are talking about, then we can start
absolutely
saying, well, I want a little difference here, and I can see that.
Well,
and
we
can do that, we can't.
If you remember from his chamber introduction, as you will, as I think is what they call it, he expressed an interest in attendance.
Right.
You know, getting the focus back to our numbers and why is our attendance low? Why are we short on our count, which we are at the moment. I don't have a specific number, but we are low on count right now, which affects us budget wise.
It certainly does.
So, you know, it's one of those things where he wants to put a focus on what can we do as a district to, one, increase our attendance, and two, get kids back in the seats.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and that's really important. And it isn't that, you know, something is not going the way we expected it to go or wanted to go. That doesn't make you a bad person.
No.
I can still talk to you, but we have to say, well, I don't know, this or that, and let's get down to something different and then measure our progress and come back 6 months or a year later and talk about it.
Absolutely.
We're all imperfect. We're all trying.
Yeah.
We're just not quite on the same sheet of music.
Well, and we all need to get on that same sheet. I find that to be important. And once we are all on that same sheet of music, it's amazing the melodies that can come from it and the progress you can make. We have a call?
We do have a call. We are getting up onto the break.
Well, let's take it real quick.
Let's take the call, and then we might have to take a break. We'll play it by ear.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFR, and who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Phil. You know, you folks are just talking about accountability. I wonder if somehow teachers can be held accountable and rewarded for good performance themselves. I've had a number of children go through this school district. Some of them had just terrible teachers. Some had excellent. But, you know, it seems to me if these teachers were incentivized by performance, they get rewarded for good performance, you might see a difference in the graduation rate and just the general success of education. And another quick issue about accountability. You know, we're talking about this Manchow project.
Mm-hmm.
Just wonder if, you know, considering the exceptions that have been made to have these trucks on these roads, for one, are they going to have oversized load signs on them? Another thing, in the event there is a bad accident with all these school buses and so forth, are all these people that are pushing for this project, are they going to be held accountable?
Okay.
Stand up and apologize for this? Are they going to take blame, or are they just going to, you know, shove it under the rug?
Okay. And you've got a perfect cliffhanger for us. And we have to take a little break to hear from our commercial sponsors and the weather, et cetera. So
we'll answer your questions.
Yeah, stay with us, and we will be right back and continue the conversation.
Okay, great.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, it's time to get out and ride. Alaska Fun Center has a great selection for your hunting trips. Let the good times roll on a Kawasaki, rev your heart on a Yamaha, or find your next adventure aboard a CF Moto. Whether you ride in the backcountry, trails, track, or street, Alaska Fun Center has the ATVs and side-by-sides you are looking for. See Alaska Fun Center online or see the showroom inventory. The fun starts at the Alaska Fun Center, 1817 College Road, across from the fairgrounds. The Alaska Fun Center.
Dearest Mother, I recently went to Brewster's and had a great meal. I was suspicious because of the many honorable things people had told me, but Brewster's lived up to the hurrah. I was sat at a table quickly and the service, outstanding. The half-pound burger was cooked to perfection and the bun was soft and fresh. They also had delicious fried potato strings they called French fries. They were cooked marvelously and salted just right. Everything was just absolutely beautiful at Brewster's. I will be back as soon as I can. Your beloved son, Henry.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with a slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 59. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, 44. Overcast. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 50. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, and we are back. Thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for calling in. We had two things we got to cover.
Yeah.
First one, teacher accountability, I think, was the summary.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into
the Manchow. Manchow, yeah.
Short
comment.
Yes.
So, teacher accountability. First off, caller, thank you so much for that. Absolutely, I absolutely agree that we need some sort of something for teachers, especially the ones who are going above and beyond and doing, you know, everything that they can to not only one, teach our students, but two, to make our schools a better place. And we have so many of those teachers. We really
yes.
do. We have an amazing crew of teachers out there who are just there for the betterment of our schools, the betterment of our students, and just to make sure that our kids have everything they need. And I understand that there are teachers out there that might not be so good. So, you know, I do 100% support some sort of something for our teachers who are doing great things out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that our new superintendent does as well. And this has been a topic of conversation, and we are working on ways to recognize those teachers and recognize those who go above and beyond and do the good things for our district.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for the Manchow thing, you know, Kinross and Black Gold and everybody involved with it, they have crossed the T's, they've dotted the I's, and they have done what is made for them to do. Everything
right.
that's in the guidelines, they have done. As for the school buses, I truly, now this is just my personal opinion outside of the board and outside of that. I believe that the school bus is a non-starter. I don't foresee this being a big issue for our school buses. We have a lot of very good drivers out there who are always on alert, always watching. I think the bigger issues are for the highway traveling and the maybe the The drivers who aren't so good, trying to find a better word there. the unprepared drivers, maybe that's right. Where I was going with that. Yeah. Now I do have a lot of questions, just like everybody, we're all watching, but you know, on paper, the companies have done everything. So this is kind of really truly falls back on you, Prax, right there in the legislature. Right.
Yep. And you know, I have looked into this and when I was first alerted to that, to the plan to do truck wharf trucking rather than build the mill on site. The first thing I did was talk to DOT to see if Kinross had been talking to DOT, and they had been, and they're doing a number of things that are above and beyond what is required. You know, frankly, the DOT is going above and beyond what is required as well, and there was a process.
Right.
And they have jumped through the hoops. That was, the process was imperfect. I get that. We the public don't become aware of this stuff in time. So I understand the reaction to it, but the, they have jumped through the hoops. They are as entitled to use the roads as anybody else using the roads. And I agree. I don't think that the school buses themselves are going to be a problem for the school buses.
Mm-hmm.
It's professionally trained drivers driving the buses, trained drivers driving the trucks.
Yep.
This happens at a predictable time of the day. They're going to be alerted to that. I don't foresee any unusual problems with school buses. The problem is going to be these are longer vehicles than we're accustomed to on the Richardson.
Yes.
The same, roughly the same size vehicles are traveling up and down the Parks Highway already. And we have to adjust. And yes, there are accidents. A lot of people are asking for a guarantee of a certain outcome. Well, we can't provide a guarantee. Nothing in life is guaranteed,
yeah.
And the standard for the regulations is you want to get to reasonable assurance that something is going to turn out the way you expect. And so that's what we're working toward, and they have met that standard.
Yeah, they've done that.
Yeah, and so we'll have to see. There's a trial period. The permit's only for 5 years.
Yeah.
In 5 years, we're going to get some experience. We're going to know a lot more about it, and we need to look forward to that.
Well, and then here's a question for you in regards to that. So then my question would be, if we find that maybe this is a bad thing, maybe this does turn out to be something detrimental, well, then it's the job of the legislature to kind of come in and say, okay, we need to change this.
Yes. It really is.
Yeah.
And we do need to look into that.
Yep.
And talk about, is the economic benefit of whatever's happening worth the additional risk that
absolutely
causes. And there's going to be a lot of exploration in that area, hopefully enough that it will make sense to open a mill in that area for that area, and another mill for the Fairbanks area, and maybe a third mill for the
area, the things that could come with
the Alaska Range.
Absolutely.
So we gotta look at that and we get something out of it.
Either way, I don't think it's going to be an issue for the school buses, especially because you're not going to see these big trucks anywhere except for on the main highways.
Right.
So I think we'll be okay there.
Yep.
Back on to school district stuff. We also got a couple of resolutions coming forward tonight. We have the resolution for Native Heritage Month, and then we have the resolution for LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of those will be coming forward. If you have anything you would like to say, if you would like to testify on any of those, you can do so. You can come to the school board meeting tonight. We meet at 6 p.m. I highly suggest coming a little bit sooner, getting yourself your name on there. You get 3 minutes to come and talk, and we will be taking public testimony on both of them. Native Heritage Month is pretty self-explanatory. LGBTQ Month, same. Many probably know what to expect with that. I can say that that one gives me great hesitation. There is a lot that comes with it, and yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
That will probably generate some discussion.
It will generate a lot of discussion. There is, and to be honest, the way our board sits, it's probably got the votes to pass.
Right.
So it's, you know, that's just the direction it goes. I will be voting no. That's where I stand with it. My reasonings being is that, you know, when it comes to the LGBTQ, that has to do with sex. And even when it comes to heterosex, it just does not belong in our schools,
right,
especially for our young children. So my vote tonight will be a no on that, though I don't think that it'll be enough to curb anything.
Right.
So,
well, and the important point of that is the discussion.
Yes.
I am not too crazy about giving protection to any specific group. I think that has...
We all have protections under the Constitution.
Yes, and we should be treating each other...
With respect and
with
dignity.
With respect.
Mm-hmm.
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Absolutely.
Is the second of the greatest commandments. And we do need to follow that as individuals. But when you set up a designation for any particular group, well, the group that wasn't designated is going to be naturally resentful.
Yeah.
It creates a problem. And it takes a little while longer for people to work it out by themselves, but that's what we set up in this country.
Well, and it's just divisive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very divisive. And it creates a lot of rhetoric out there that is along the lines of, if you don't believe this way and you don't feel this way and you don't support this, then you're a bigot and you're a hater and you're a xenophobe and you're all these things.
Right.
That is very untrue. And it's exactly where it goes. And, you know, I would just that goes to show that the culture of bullying is where it is.
Yes. We have a call.
Okay.
Very good. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who are you speaking with?
Good morning. This is Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi. See, I've got a couple or three more comments about this Kent Ross Mancho project.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been following this, sitting in the background, watching, listening from the very beginning when they were first talking about this about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when they said that the initial truck number per day was 98. And then they scaled it back to where it's now 60.
Mm-hmm.
And they also said that in just the beginning, about a year ago, that this project would last for 5 years. And now, after doing some research on my part and investigating, this project could go on for another 30 years because of all the other mineral development in the area. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you think 60 trucks is not an unreasonable number on our highways, it actually comes out to, if I'm not mistaken, 12 and a half minutes. Every 12 and a half minutes, there will be a truck passing any given point.
Mm-hmm. Oops, we're hearing the music. So the satellites are going to come over and take over the program here in about 15 seconds or so. So if you could hang on, I pressed the wrong button before, but we've got to go to a break. So if you could hang on, we'll continue the discussion after some news and some announcements from our sponsors.
Glad.
Oh, yeah.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Tom Graham, a short-lived ground stop has been lifted for all United Airlines flights. It was reportedly due to a computer glitch, and it may take some time for United to play catch-up and get flights back on schedule. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg taking to X, saying affected passengers should be compensated. The Biden campaign fine-tuning their messaging on the economy after a new Wall Street Journal poll shows only 37% of Americans see it as good or excellent.
The president and economic advisors have been doing is picking and choosing facts that fit a positive narrative. Like, for example, it's true that real wages are up, but only over the past 3 months. If you go back and look to when President Biden first took office, real wages are actually down about 3%.
That's Fox's Edward Lawrence at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports Governor Mike Dunleavy made it clear at a press conference on Friday just how crucial a motion filed by the state of Alaska is for the future of fisheries conservation in Alaska. Dunleavy, along with Alaska Attorney General Treg Taylor and Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang, spoke to the press for about 15 minutes in Anchorage about the state's motion to reject a lawsuit brought by the federal government over the state's management of fisheries on the Kuskokwim River. "What I want the people of Alaska to understand is we didn't choose this fight. The feds forced it on us," Dunleavy said. "The stakes obviously couldn't be higher because this really has to do with management of our fisheries and potentially down the road game as well. It has to do with sovereignty over our waters." The state is arguing the federal government does not have the authority to manage the fishery on the Kuskokwim because the Kuskokwim River is not public land. The bottom line is the federal government sued us to take away the right of Alaska to manage its fish and game, a right Alaska was guaranteed at statehood, Taylor added.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearms scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for 50 years from their same location near the airport on Dale Road. Listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
Your miraculous eyes bring your life into focus. Protect your eyes. Reach out to ophthalmologist Dr. Ronald Zamber, accepting new patients at the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. With 30 years of experience, he provides a vast level of expertise to his patients in Alaska and around the world. Receive the most compassionate and globally experienced eye care in Alaska from ophthalmologist Dr. Ronald Zamber and his exceptional team of optometrists. Contact the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Okay, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Melissa Burnett, who is on the school board, and we are talking school board things and Moncho things, and Randy called in with a couple of questions that we have to address about Moncho.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yes, go ahead. So
okay, starting where I left off about the number of trucks past any one given point, it equates out to 12 and a half minutes. And, you know, that might sound manageable to a person, but in the summer, I think it is possible to do it safely. Mm-hmm. But you've got so many inclement weather conditions in the wintertime.
Right.
And I happen to live out in Sauktia, and I travel to Richardson to Fairbanks and back quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's there's times when you've got 6 inches of snow on the road. You're up against semi-tractor trailers. You're up against DOT road graders.
Yep.
And, you know, you couple all of the conditions together, and it's really unsafe. I hope that Black Gold is taking this into consideration,
right,
and is willing to reduce that number of trucks to comply with the unnecessary risks that are imminent if they do not reduce the number of trucks in the traffic.
Yes, okay. And actually, I have not talked to Kinross about this, but I worked along the pipeline. And
so did I.
Yep. And when there are, what do they call it, inclement road conditions,
right,
we imposed on ourselves travel restrictions. And I think it's reasonable to assume that they're going to do the same thing, that Kinross will not just be out there bombing along through 6 inches of snow. And, you know, on the bright side, if there are that many trucks on the road, they, to a degree, keep the road clean. And so we won't get 6 inches of snow if they maintained a steady flow of traffic. But I don't think they're even going to do that. They're not responsible for cleaning the road. It's just something to keep in mind. But I think it stands to reason that they will work through that and not be taking it. It's just not in their interest to take unreasonable risks.
Well, yeah. Well, you have kind of a good point about the trucks themselves blowing the snow off the road.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take into consideration if you meet one of those trucks coming head on, yep, as compared to following one of those trucks, the amount of snow that it kicks up in front of you,
yep,
and I'm speaking from experience,
yep,
it's such that for like 10 seconds, you're totally in the blind.
Yes.
And let's face it, DOT can only do so much.
Correct.
And
yeah,
that brings up another subject of DOT saying that they would have passing lanes to increase the safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a great idea. They started out, well, they're going to make 15 additional passing lanes. And then that got reduced down to, I believe, 8 because they didn't have enough money for 15.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying they were supposed to start on it this summer. But again, because of lack of funding, they won't be able to start it until next summer.
Yep.
DOT has also got their hands full with the bridge problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's 5 bridges. And to replace those 5 bridges, they've come out with a cost estimate of $500 million.
Right.
2 of those bridges were just recently built, the one being as you're going north and coming into North Pole, the overpass over the flood control project.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be totally redone. They will be running trucks not across that bridge, but down, detoured down into the flood control project.
Right. My understanding of that specific issue, and I will stand to be corrected if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that Kinross has agreed to reduce the maximum vehicle gross weight, I can't remember how much, slightly.
Yeah.
So that they can take care of that. Yep.
They did agree to reduce the weight, but only by about 1,500 pounds, I believe.
Right.
And if that's sufficient to meet the extra load, then that's fine, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've already acknowledged that they're going to, even with that reduced weight, they're going to have to detour around the Chena Hot Springs overpass.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that will necessitate them going, negotiating the circle.
Traffic circle,
what
yep,
you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those trucks are so long, that's going to be next to impossible, I believe.
You have a legitimate concern.
I do believe they said they were going to place a flagger there.
Excuse yep, me?
I do believe that Ken Ross had said that there would be a, or maybe it was Black Gold, but that they would be placing a flagger there at the Chena Hot Springs roundabouts and then using those lift gates to let the trucks go through so they didn't have to navigate the roundabouts, that they could just go straight through.
Mm-hmm. And right. I've also heard that they think that those trucks can navigate the circle. That would be interesting.
They're, yeah.
They will negotiate a tighter circle than the typical double trailer side dump that we see. The geometry of it is a little different. It'll be interesting to see if that pans out. But you raised some pretty good points, Randy.
Absolutely.
We've got to take a look at that and look forward. And I think there will be some adjustments. But the key thing right now, for better or worse, they have met the DOT requirements, and so they're permitted to go forward. And at this point, it would almost take a court action to put a stop to it if somebody wants to file a court action. And that remains to be seen how the courts would look at it. There's different ways of looking at the issue of an industrial road, and I don't know. That might have to be decided in court. But at this point, they have permission to be on the roads, and we are going to have to adjust. We should adjust when there's snow, whether it's one every 12 minutes or one every half hour. If you're approaching a truck that's kicking up snow, it just makes sense to slow down because you don't know what's behind the truck. There could be somebody trying to come out around it. And if we're not in the habit of doing that, I know my habit when I see a truck coming in the winter is I slow way down just because of that. You don't know what's behind that truck. So, yep, we're going to have to make some adjustments. We're going to have to see how this works out. This, we can look at it as a trial period and move on from there. That's mine. I have another call, Randy, so I'm going to go to that. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome, and if the people would like to find out more of these details, as I have done, mm-hmm. Please get a hold of Advocates for Safe Alaskan Highways.
Yep.
You can find them on the Internet, and you can also find them a phone number for them with the minimum amount of research. That's Advocates for Safe Alaska Highways. Thank
All
you
right.
very much for
All
your
right.
time.
Thank you for
Thanks,
calling.
Thanks, Andy.
Yep. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
So this is Bill again.
Bill, yes. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. Hey, I agree with these last couple callers. One point I want to bring up real quick. Now, that last safe or meeting they had with DOT and all the people involved with this whole issue,
mm-hmm.
I sat in on that 3-hour Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I was going to be able to make a comment or participate. I was informed otherwise late into the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point I want to make is they spent approximately 25 minutes at the start of the meeting discussing how much public participation was going to be allowed at this next public meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And their original determination and suggestion was that a total of 20 minutes for all public participation
right.
was going to be allowed. They finally agreed on 1 hour
mm-hmm.
total. But I'm talking, they wanted to just limit it to 20 minutes for everybody who has a point to make to discuss this issue.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that just demonstrates their attitude toward the public on this whole issue.
And
to me, Ken Ross is doing nothing that the law doesn't require already. To give them kudos for obeying the traffic laws is no great feat. They're being given an exception for having their own, they're not having to stop at the weigh scales or be safety inspected. They're able to weigh their own trucks.
Mm-hmm.
There's exceptions already being made for Kinross. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
Sure. No, and, point well taken. There is, unfortunately, a limited amount of public discussion that can be taken at any meeting, but... And now I've, what do they call it, regional advisory committee or something. That's not true.
Right.
But there is a group that the DOT put together to take a long-term look at that transportation corridor. And I would encourage you, if you haven't, to go to their website. They have some additional information about what's going on there.
Okay.
And there's still time to submit written testimony for that. That's any time you can give them some ideas, and they will take that into consideration.
Right. One quick point. You know, I read that DOT report.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped that report at the weigh station, Fox. They did not mention anything about that road between Fox and Fort Knox.
Right.
To me, that's a glaring omission.
Right.
There's something wrong with that. To be given that task and just ignore part of the highway, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something suspicious about that.
Sure. Yeah. And we there is limited information available to the public. That's kind of unavoidable. But bring those questions up so that there is a written response. I don't know on this corridor study yet if they have collected all the responses, but typically on a state, like on the the closure permit, there's a page issued by the DEC that all of the written comments are the ones that are relevant. There we go. They do address those comments, each one individually. And so that's available. It's a difficult, a time-consuming process, but it's part of the process. Public input is part of the process. And I would encourage people to comment because you never know. You might hit on something that nobody has ever thought of before. So thank you for calling. We have to take another commercial break. And we will be back after these messages. You're listening to KFAR Problem Corner.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 deal is the all-new Fairbanks Laundry, your brand-new state-of-the-art laundromat. Now open daily 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 906 Old Steese Highway, boasting a massive 6,000 square foot self-service laundry facility with a variety of washers and dryers to suit every load size. Your laundry will be ready in no time. This week, get a $50 user card from Fairbanks Laundry for half price. Fairbanks Laundry, where clean clothes are just a spin cycle away.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper Tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 59. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows dip down to about 44. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 50. Cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 6 a.m. and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. I'm filling in for David Proust. And with me in the studio is Melissa Burnett on the school board. And we've been talking about school board issues.
And Moncho.
And Moncho has come up. And we have
another call.
We have a call.
Moncho is important.
Yes, indeed. We hit a nerve. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with? Oops.
Good morning.
You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
This is Al.
Hey, Al.
What's on your mind?
I got a question for probably both of yous. In the Constitution, back to school subjects, do you believe there's a difference between public education and collegiate education?
Meaning like college? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So my question would be then is why is the school district, I just found this out, potentially paying for up to 60 credit hours at the university for high school students?
North Star College.
Yes. Good question. You want to take that turn?
So you'll have to forgive me as I don't have all the North Star College information in front of me. Mm-hmm. But it is a dual accreditation system that we got implanted really for the dual accreditation purposes for our students to be able to gain college credit while they're also taking high school courses. These courses are like your AP advanced courses and things like that. What we are seeing, though, with it is the dual accreditation is kind of taken away from our CTE. And so that was something I was not prepared for to happen. And so our enrollment there at Hutch has been down this year, and we're thinking it might be due to the dual accreditation with North Star College. But it was meant to be able to give those kids college credits for the high school courses that they're taking to be able to further their education and get them on a standard of when they go into college, then they're ready to just take off with college courses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I understand the purpose, but do you feel the taxpayers of the Fairbanks North Star Borough are responsible for paying for that?
It, you know, good point. The all else being equal, if that wasn't there, the taxpayers would be paying for high school education provided within the buildings of the school district.
Right.
And so now the school district essentially contracts with the university mm-hmm. to provide the same service. So that was the rationale behind allowing that at the legislative level.
Where I stand with taxpayers in education is I try very hard. I am a believer in lower taxes. I don't want people to be taxed more. I don't want our mill rates to go up. Especially for anything, you know, we already pay a lot, but our schools are also an entity that they can't fundraise. We can't gather money from anywhere else. We have no way to fund ourselves except for through the state legislature, borough, and then, of course, taxpayer dollars. So while, no, I don't necessarily always agree with more money going to taxpayers for things, there is no other way to kind of cover these costs. And so it is part of it. I do like North Star College. I think that it is a really good thing that we have going for us. And we'll see from there. I don't like that it's taken away from our CTE. So we'll see how that pans out in the next year.
Separation, because the Constitution says we're there to provide for public education. We all agree that there's a difference between the public education and the college education. And again, it's really not the responsibility of taxpayers, no matter how you put the icing on it,
mm-hmm.
that we should be paying for college classes. Those are up to individuals when they reach that level or want to opt into those programs. It's not my financial responsibility to educate them at a higher level.
Well, correct, but they could, and the school district was essentially delivering the same level course. When I was in high school, we took what were called AP exams, and if you qualified, you could get college credit for the course while you were in high school.
But you weren't paying for the college education.
Well, no, but you were getting credit. It's kind of six in one, half a dozen of the other.
I think it's pretty clear to me.
The school district could provide the same education courses, or they could, which this program enables, is contracting with someone else to provide that same course, essentially.
At a time that we have budget concerns.
Well, correct, but we have to pay the school district budget is based on number of students, not the type of course. As long as a student's in high school age and he shows up in school, there's funding available. Al, I got another call, and we're going to be a couple of minutes, and we're going to hear the satellite, so I got to let you go. Go to the next one. Good morning. You're on Cafe R, and who am I speaking with?
This is Bob. I just had a quick question for your lady there about the school district.
Yes, sir.
Just what is advanced AP studies?
Advanced AP studies are, so you're taking a chem course and, you know, you pass that chem course, you want to keep taking chem, but chem 2 is not exactly up your alley. So you take an AP chem, which is a college level chemistry course that allows you to have that higher level. So the dual accreditation system is, without it, you would be taking these AP courses and not getting college credit for it. Whereas now you are able to get the college credit and attain that and take it with you if you choose to go to university the next year.
All right. I was just curious, and I believe Al's right. If it has anything to do with college credits, taxpayers shouldn't be paying for it.
All right. Very good. We have another call, and we're running short on time, so I'm going to let you go and go to the next caller. Thank you much. Good morning. You're on KFR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Steve. Good morning. How are you, Mike?
I am well.
Good. A point for your listeners. You'd mentioned something a little while ago about this limited information about the Moncho trucking project, and I would offer this for your listeners. There is a wealth of information available from all sources, and anyone who cares to learn about this thing in great detail is certainly welcome to go to www.safealaskahighways.org.
Okay.
There. Anything you want to know? Probably some stuff you don't want to know.
I like it.
Yes.
It's all right there. Read it and weep. Speak the truth and shame the devil.
Very good.
What's that website again for the listeners?
Yep.
It's Safe Alaska Highways.
There you go.
www.safealaskahighways.org.
ORG. Yep. So, yes, and you're right. Thank you for pointing that out. People should go to that website. The group has brought up a bunch of issues that we need to take into consideration, because we are going to be having more projects in the future, and we have to look ahead to decide as a community what we want to do about that. Is it an opportunity or is it a trap? And that takes both points of view. So, yes, if people have not, I would encourage them to go to safealaskahighways.org and become more informed about what's going on. I would also encourage to go to the Kinross website. There's a page specific to the Moncho project that has the lists of permits that they have had to obtain, and that's a starting point to go and become more informed about the permitting process. Because there's
indeed that's the permitting process.
Yep.
Does not address Safe Alaska Highways.
Correct.
The 280 school bus stops. The fact the state of Alaska is going to have to maintain the roads. The fact that Kinross has suggested strongly that we double the gas tax to pay for road maintenance.
Yep.
Oh, that's generous. Thank you so much.
Anyway, there you have it. All right.
Best of luck.
All right. Thanks for calling in. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, Melissa, we have about a minute left before the satellite comes over and assumes control. So do you have any closing comments?
Want to look at our agenda, you want to see what we have going on with the school board and stay informed, you can visit our website, k12northstar.org. That's where you'll get our information. School board meeting tonight, 6 o'clock, and please come.
All right. Very good. And yes, I do hear the music and
Spin Doctors. I like it.
Spin Doctors.
I did this.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. This was a good program. Thank you to those who called in. It takes both points of view, and we do have to have those discussions because it does affect us, and we want to do what works best for us going forward. So thank you again. Tune in tomorrow and stand by for news.
Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.
The U.S. Senate's back in session. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I assure you, August was a busy and productive